Father, I thank you for giving us another grand opportunity to come in and look at your word, to see what you have for us to learn, so that we'll know who you are, so that we will know your ways, so that we will not be taken by other people and follow their dictates and follow the lifestyle that they have for us, so that we can be the people that you would have us to be, that we can go and set forth and make known to the world, you have a kingdom. Not only do you have a kingdom, but we are apportioned benefits in your kingdom. And often we don't pay attention to those benefits because we've accepted the culture. We've accepted our punishment as not being punishment, but just the way of life. Have mercy on us, according to your loving kindness and according to the multitude of your transgression, of our transgressions. Your word has told us about the transgressions, and we do it often. We don't fear you. We don't fear death. What we fear is to be ostracized by people. What we fear is going to jail or the police. Teach us who to fear. For that is the beginning of wisdom, and it's the beginning of knowledge. I ask you to help me go through these passages today so that we'll have a better idea of who you are and the righteous rule of your government. Amen, amen, and even so, amen. Again, we're here going in the Word of God, and I don't come here to go through the Word of God just to talk. I've already had people call me today want to do business. And I've already let them know not on Sabbath. Talk to me after Sabbath. Talk to me after my Sabbath today. If you don't like me worshiping on the seventh day, see God about it. You want to ask me my seventh day adventist? No. You show me in the Bible where it says God said he blessed the Sabbath day or the seventh day. He hallowed it and he sanctified it. Show me in the Bible where he took the blessing off of it. If you show me that, I'll shut my mouth. Fair enough? Isn't that fair? Show me where he took the blessing off the seventh day. Tell me one person that's listening to my voice that don't need another blessing. Tell me. I don't see any hands. I don't see anybody looking at me like I'm a stupid imbecile. And even if they did, I mean, that look is reversible. I mean, I could get a look right back. What are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about the government of God demands righteous judgment for innocent blood being shed. Let me say it this way again. The righteous justice of God demands judgment. Penalties for innocent blood being shed. But before we get to that chapter 34 in the book of Numbers, talk about God's people having an inheritance. No one at any time has the right to take your inheritance and appropriate it for themselves. No one has the right to become your overlord and take your inheritance. No one has the right to come in your home and tell you how to raise your child, not to spank your child, not to give your child directives. No one has that, not by God. And if they have usurped that authority, they're taking your inheritance. Sometimes we give away our inheritance. Husbands that won't love their wives and provide for their wives and want to lay up and sleep and say, you know what, let the woman take care of me. That's a damnable thought to have inside of your head. Children that want to take the inheritance of their parents. I want to run this show. I've got 12 years old. I can smell my underarms now and I think I'm grown. Still using the parents' toilet paper. Parents that are not teaching and bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's part of their inheritance. Preachers getting paid and not giving people the butt-naked word of God, not warning them. I submit to you that they are murderers. Did you hear what I said? Due to the fact that we got a time limit that I'm working with today, we're going to go directly to our page. We're going to start at Numbers 34. I don't usually do two chapters at the same time, but in Numbers 34, we got a list of names that we've gone through. Some of these names we've gone through, we've dealt with names in the earlier part of Numbers. So I want you to see the inheritance. We're going to talk about the inheritance, and we're going to talk about the area in the inheritance, how justice is to be done. Did you get me? If you don't like it after, we can do again. We can go through every name. We can go through every city, but I've already looked at the cities, and I say without a map, until I learn to master either Zoom or something like that, or have me a whiteboard. If I tell you about Hamath, if I tell you about Hor, if I tell you maybe the Mediterranean, you can see it in your eyes, maybe, but you can you see the great river of Egypt in your eyes? If I tell you the Western, in other words, I want to make it where you can understand what I'm saying. But that doesn't mean that God does is not going to honor what I'd like to do. So let's go into our passage. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to cheat and at least let the black pill read. When I say the black pill, for those that's watching, this is the black pill. Bulls make it. I guess somebody else makes one, but my wife bought this one for herself, and it looks like I have appropriated it. That's the word they use when you take something that belongs to somebody in the legal system. Let's go to Numbers 34 and hear the blessed word of the Lord.
Numbers chapter 34. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say unto them,
When ye come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall unto you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan with the coasts thereof. Then your south quarter shall be from the wilderness of Zin, along by the coast of Edom, and your south border shall be the outmost coast of the salt sea eastward. And your border shall turn from the south to the ascent of Akrabim, and pass on to Zin. And the going forth thereof shall be from the south to Kadesh Barnea, and shall go on to Hazar Adar, and pass on to Asmon. And the border shall fetch a compass from Asmon unto the river of Egypt, and the goings out of it shall be at the sea. And as for the western border, ye shall even have the great sea for a border. This shall be your west border, and this shall be your north border. From the great sea ye shall point out for you Mount Hor. From Mount Hor ye shall point out your border unto the entrance of Hamath, and the goings forth of the border shall be to Zedad. And the border shall go on to Ziphron, and the goings out of it shall be at Hazar Enan. This shall be your north border. And ye shall point out your east border from Hazar Enan to Shepham. And the coast shall go down from Shepham to Riblah on the east side of Ain. And the border shall descend, and shall reach unto the side of the sea of Kinnereth eastward. And the border shall go down to Jordan, and the goings out of it shall be at the salt sea. This shall be your land with the coasts thereof round about.
And Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying,
This is the land which ye shall inherit by lot, which the Lord commanded to give unto the nine tribes and to the half tribe. For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. The two tribes and the half tribe have received their inheritance on this side Jordan, near Jericho eastward, toward the sun rising.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
These are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you, Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun, and ye shall take one prince of every tribe to divide the land by inheritance.
And the names of the men are these: of the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh; and of the tribe of the children of Simeon, Shemuel the son of Ammihud; of the tribe of Benjamin, Eliadab the son of Kislon; and the prince of the tribe of the children of Dan, Bucci the son of Jogli; the prince of the children of Joseph, for the tribe of the children of Manasseh, Haniel the son of Ephod; and the prince of the tribe of the children of Ephraim, Kemuel the son of Shiftan; and the prince of the tribe of the children of Zebulun, Elizaphan the son of Parnak; and the prince of the tribe of the children of Issachar, Palthiel the son of Azan; and the prince of the tribe of the children of Asher, Ahihud the son of Shalomai; and the prince of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, Pedahel the son of Ammihud. These are they whom the Lord commanded to divide the inheritance unto the children of Israel in the land of Canaan.
When we go through and we listen to that, you hear all those words, you hear the names. No doubt for some people that gets to be so much. Understanding every name, except for about three, you have the word El in it. So when you see El in a name and you're looking in what we call the scriptures, we're looking in the Bible, we know that's going to be talking about Yahweh, El. Usually it's talking about him, either Elohim, El Dad. We see El Dad, you see at the El, the names were descriptive. Now, Buki, yes, Buki, B-U-K-K-I. I understand as black people, you probably knew somebody growing up that we call Buki. I don't know if they do that in your generation, Naomi, but I always was glad that I didn't have that nickname, Buki. But Buki is like the Lord has already devastated or wasted. The point being made, as we look at this passage, I want you to keep in mind one beautiful thing. The one beautiful thing that I want you to think about is that God is in control. I want you to understand that God has already determined something. And so listen to this one scripture before we go into it, because it's very important. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, the Apostle Paul talked. Can you hear me better now? The Apostle Paul talked to the people. He was getting ready to leave Ephesus, and the people were crying. They were very sad. And the reason that in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, they were sad is because Paul, by God's power, had brought them from darkness and brought them to light, brought them from serving other gods, deities, demons, etc. And they had learned about God. They had burnt their magic books, etc. And when you read in the letter that he gave to the people in Ephesus, he told them and he reminded them that you don't need to be like children, tossed to and fro. Where are you coming from? To me, Ephesians, around Ephesians 4 and 15, at least 12 to 15. You don't need to be like children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. And in chapter 6, he lets them know that there are other beings that rule, and those people were aware of those things. And he told them to stand against the wiles of the devil. He allowed them to understand that in this world, listen to the words that I'm getting ready to give you. You standing up against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. They are lying in wait to deceive you. They are lying in wait to take away what God has for you. What does Paul teach the people that God has for them? Well, if you look at Ephesians, not Ephesians, I keep saying Ephesians, but Acts chapter 20, verse number 17 is a beautiful passage. I want you to hear it. Tim, what you want to do? I think Tim want to go ahead and read the 15th verse so you can taste. You want to taste it? I know you want to taste it. Paul is talking about his conversion. Paul is talking about his mission. And so in that beautiful book, Acts chapter 26, verse number 15, we come 20 number 6, 26 verse number 15. Did I say it wrong, precious love? At first, it was chapter 20. When I was dealing with the first one, we already talked about it, where he was leaving the people. And did I ever read it?
No.
Okay, so I mean, help me share the love with Tim. Let me go back to it. Let me click. what Paul is doing in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, when he was leaving the people. That's how I threw you. I probably threw myself too, but I can do better. In 20:32, Paul says to these people, And now, brethren, I commend you to God. There's only one kind of God that he's going to talk about. He's not commending them to Baal. He's not commending them to Theos. He's not commending Theos. That's a word that is used, but that's a generic word. He's not commending them to Zeus. He's not commending them to any other God but the God of the Hebrew Scriptures. You got to understand what he's talking about, because if you don't know it right, you shut your mouth. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and the words of his grace. Listen, what is his grace for? Which is able to build you. It's not just going to come and let you live like you want to. It is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which is sanctified. Are you beginning to see the connection that I'm going to in Numbers? Can you see it before I get there? There is an inheritance to the people of God. And many of those people in Ephesus, no doubt, you had those that were aliens from the commonwealth, and no doubt you probably had people there that had been scattered throughout, and Paul was there for all of them. But the words of his grace, same grace he taught about in Titus, that teaches you to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Why is that? You have a boundary. The grace of God teaches you your boundaries. Listen to me. Because we're going to read about physical, well, the appeal is already read about physical boundaries. When the Bible says the grace of God that brings salvation, that brings you your inheritance, it teaches us to deny ungodliness. You have a boundary against ungodliness. And worldly lust, you have a boundary. You have a boundary against being drunk and dissipated. Live soberly. You have a boundary and you have a freedom in God to live righteously and godly in this present world. And on top of that, you still have another inheritance coming, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. So when you see Acts chapter 20 and 32, put that in your memory when you start talking about grace. And now, our brethren, commend you to God and the word of his grace. Isn't that consistent with what he says? The grace of God appears, teaching you to deny. It teaches you through his word. Here it's giving you a grace. God is giving you the word of his grace, which is able to build you. Allows you to build a house on that rock. And that rock is steadfast. That rock should be unmovable. It should always be abounding in what? The word of the Lord. And then what he tell him in 1 Corinthians? Dearly beloved, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your work is not in vain, or your work of labor is not in vain in the Lord. And give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. That's the whole olive tree. That's the government of God. In Acts 26 and 16, when Paul is explaining himself, now I get back to where I was before I got you all confused with my confusion. But remember, I said 16, but I said I'm going to go back to 15. Paul is explaining what happened to him. What happened to him on the road to Damascus. So in 15, he says, he's talking about the Lord talking to him. And he says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. But rise, stand up on your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. If you're familiar with Jeremiah, if you're familiar with Moses, if you're familiar with Aaron and the men that went up into the mountain in the 24th chapter of the book of Exodus, if you're familiar with Ezekiel, it's in the same kind of way that he would appear to people to commission them. Am I right? I know I am. I just like to get some agreement sometimes. He says, this is the reason that I have appeared to thee for this purpose, to make you a minister. Listen, I make you a minister and a witness both of these things which you have seen and in the things which I will appear unto thee. I'm not through with you. I didn't just call you. I'm going to keep appearing. You're not in charge. I am. Listen, delivering thee from the people. Isn't that what he told Jeremiah? They're going to fight against you, Jeremiah, but I'm with you to deliver you. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Why do you send them? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness. Listen! This is important. To turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I want you to understand that when you read anything that Paul is teaching, when you read anything about the life of Paul, when you see Paul withstand Peter to the face in Galatians chapter 2, it's about bringing people from darkness to light. It's about giving them and making sure that they get their inheritance among them that are sanctified. And we have an inheritance in God. Don't just look at numbers and say, oh, they got stuff. You get stuff too. But often, I'm back. Sorry to have left you. What, Gary?
I'm back.
Yeah, I put raise it up. Like, it was like that. Okay. You could tell me when I can pick back up. Okay. If the internet goes off again this time, then I'll record from, string from the computer as opposed to the Mevo. There's something going on often with this signal. So what we're going to do is I'm not going to go back over and read Numbers 34. But what I will say is that there is an inheritance that God has for his people, and that his inheritance is for those that are sanctified. And Paul told the people that God has given them grace that would build them up and give them an inheritance among them that are sanctified. And he said that God was doing it by the word of his grace. That's Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And then I was reading before technical difficulties came into our lives in Acts chapter 26, around the 15th verse, where Paul was being commissioned by the Lord. He came, he appeared to him, just like he did that Jeremiah told me would deliver him from the people. And that what Paul was to do was to bring the people out of darkness. He was to bring them to God's marvelous light and let them know that there's an inheritance that they were supposed to have among them that are sanctified. And we looked at when he told the people that God would give him what he needed them to have by the word of his grace. This is through a group of people that had gone through and burned up all their magical books. They knew about spiritualism better than many of us know about it. And God had brought them from that darkness, and he had given them what they need so they would be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and slight incontinence and crepiness of men, whereby they had got the devil at life and waited to deceive through these people. And so what I was getting ready to show you is that there was an inheritance for those people, and people think that certain things are boring, or as I said, as a child, boarding. And what we don't understand a lot of times is that God has given us stuff so he can show us who he is. And I sufficiently recovered what we talked about. Blessed is everlasting name that sits between the cherubim. There are some people did say it shouldn't be in there because it's too much detail and all of this, and it's too inaccurate, but it's not inaccurate. Sometimes we don't know where a place is because of when they change place. For instance, the time will come that it might be, as my son say, that we had the white people in slavery. If we get to do kind of enough revisionist history, that can happen. As a matter of fact, the Lone Ranger became white when he would become Clayton Moore. So now we just a lot of things take place. We're going to end up having 30 years from now, they may say Black Lives Matter was a movement that brought about civil rights, which is a goddamnable lie, because they don't love God. They promote transgender like Calvin Klein do. What I want to do is promote the word of God, and nothing that will bring immorality to the people of God and bring immorality to our culture is going to give us an inheritance. It's going to take our inheritance. It's going to remove God's boundaries, and we will be damned. Now, 34:1, it says, and Yahweh spake to Moses, command them, don't let them do what they want to do. I have delegated you and given you the authority. I showed Miriam and Aaron, you're not regular. When it's the 12th chapter of Numbers, yeah, you're not regular. And they tried you. Remember when they tried you and I raised my hand up at them? You don't try him. I talk to him face to face. Now you tell them, when you come to the land of Canaan, this is where we stop. This is the land that will fall to you for an inheritance. I'm going to give you an inheritance so that people can look at it in the past, or not in the past, but in the future, and they can look back to it in the past and see that I provide. Are we good? Yes, we are. He says, even the land of Canaan, when I keep my promises that I gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then he tells you, you got a south quarter. You're going to have by the coast of Edom. You got a south quarter on the uttermost part of the sea eastward. This is verse 3. For those that were with us before we cut off, we had a whole chapter read, so I'm moving through it now that you can pick up the highlights. You're going to have a border. Look at verse 4. I want you to see you're going to have a border. There are some areas that are not yours. There are some things that's not yours. My brother has a wife. There's a border. My brother, that's a border to my brother. That's a border to Patrick. That's a border. There are other people that you're not married to. That's a border. That's a boundary. Don't cross the boundary. until God say, this is what you to have over here, you don't cross, because there are some places God was going to have them to come and learn from you, and I'm going to be able to let you take their gates that way through my word, through my wisdom, and through my teaching. Did you hear me? Other people can have land. And it says the border of the south to the ascent of Akrabim to Zan thereof, and the south of Kadesh Barnea to the place where you did not do what I told you to do. And then I look at that last word. It kind of threw me. And for some reason, when I look at that last word in verse 4, I keep wanting to call Asmon Amazon. I just throw that out there for fun. Then the border will fetch a compass. This is why when people say the King James is the only Bible to use, that's not true. What is fetch a compass? But when I was in the army, we had a compass and we would shoot an asthmus and we'd have to get somewhere and we'd have to find it with that compass, not knowing whether you go left or right or up or down, north, east, south, or west. You'd have a what is called a coordinate and you walk the way of the compass. Well, fetch a compass in King James means to encircle a place, like fetch a compass or to compass something. From Asmoth to the river of Egypt. I just want to thoroughly understand something. Do you see that they're bothered with Egypt again? Do you see that they're with Egypt again? And listen to me, whether you like it or not, those people were black. If you want to tell me that they're not black, you tell me a God damnable lie. Not only can I prove it in my ancient books, I can go online and look at other people's ancient books when they open them and show you the different things. And they're in the areas of the Canaanites. These people were continually mixing with these people, and these people were given an inheritance, and they were supposed to walk with God. Now, how all of a sudden you're going to think all of us that are black, that we don't have any inheritance with God? That's a lie. We better go back and start learning what we need to learn and realize there's a reason that we are being brought down. Somebody say, you don't have an inheritance but to be a slave. You don't have an inheritance but to be transgendered. You don't have an inheritance but to be in a social activist group. You don't have an inheritance in God. God's inheritance is not about my politics. God's inheritance is not about my skin color, but it's about who he chose. And if God chooses a man to do something, it didn't matter if he was a man and so forth. You understanding everything about God, he chose that man. Not that woman, not that child, not me. He chose that person. When he gave the inheritance, he gave it to who he wanted to have it. And for you to actually take it or to remove their borders and remove their lands that God had given to give and move their freedom to do God's will, you've done wrong to somebody, and God will deal with you. Please, if you don't understand that, one day go read Isaiah chapter 10. You'll get to smell it. You'll get to see what God does. You read the book of Judges, you'll see what happened. I'm not going to go all the way through, but 7 times you'll see people come and try to take the land because the children of Israel did not set up God's boundaries. And when you don't set up God's boundaries, what did we read in the last chapter? There will be pricks in your eyes. There'll be thorns in your eyes. They will actually come and devour you. When we don't make the provision of walking our inheritance, which is God's holiness, to be separated to him for the cause of God, not for the cause of color. For the cause of God, if you happen to be one color, you're that color. God made you that color, and if he gave you a blessing, that's your blessing. Don't go trying to take somebody else's because you despise yours because something is happening in your culture that is wrong. Well, look and see, what did you do? Isn't that what I ask people when they beg me for money? First of all, I say, don't beg. I say, because either I'm going to do it or I'm not. I had a man the other day, I'm riding, and people giving him money. He'd get down on his knees and do like that, and I was going to give him some money. I said, don't bow to me. Don't bow. You a man. He just smiled. Gave him the money. I didn't have time to talk. But I'll ask a person, have you turned your back on God? Is this something that God has caused in you? And you'd be surprised how many people would say yes. Yes, I turned away from God. I said, what happened? My grandmama taught me my grandmama taught me or whatever, and I just got out here and I got messed up. And I said, well, what do you want? You want a couple of dollars for this? Sometimes if I can tell they're really hungry, I learned from my wife, you don't have to limit to a couple. You can give them more. I said that I had to learn it from her, but you know, most of the time if I really knew it, but sometimes you don't know. Well, in this case, you got this going on, and we as a people, we have lost our inheritance. We haven't lost the promise of our inheritance. We've lost our inheritance. Somebody else has given us another inheritance. Every activist group is giving you an inheritance. Every law that makes you do something is giving you an inheritance. Every law that takes something away from you is taking from your inheritance. So when you don't know the government of God and the kingdom of God, you don't know your inheritance. But Moses is letting all of them know at this particular time, God has given it to you. Read on, Tim. Verse number 5. Verse number 6. As for the western border, the Great Sea. The Great Sea is what we call the Mediterranean. If you don't have a map, that's one of the issues that I knew that we would deal with. But that Great Sea, and they just come up to the sea, the Mediterranean, and that way, that sea right there, that's their border. Up above that on the left side, which we would call the west, if you look at the map, that's where you get Europe. To the west side going down, that's where we get the place that has been named or labeled Africa. That's the bottom part, the southern part. You go into Mesopotamia, you go into the areas where the Ethiopians live, Egypt was, and you go all the way to west till you get to the end of that continent, and you go up Gibraltar and you get into Spain, okay? See, by me saying that, okay, Tim can say that, but do you see it in your mind? If you don't, you understand why I say I wish I had a map. Verse number 7, your north border, the Great Sea, it will point out for you at Mount Hor. We just know that's where Aaron died. Let's deal with that. From Mount Hor, that's going to be another border to Hamath, and the going forth of the border should be Zedad. The border should go from Ziphon to going out of Hezron. This should be your north border. The part that I want you to see, there's a north border, there's a south border, there's a west border. At the bottom of the 11th verse, you got a border that's eastward, okay? At 12, you go down to Jordan. So if you know anything about the Jordan, you got two bodies of water. On the west side, you have what was called the Great Sea or the Mediterranean. Going toward the right, you go so far, that's the Jordan River, okay? At least you know that body. If you keep going past the Jordan River, you'll make your way into Iran, Iraq, and all of those areas of the world. Then it says, and Moses, I'm in 13 now. It says, Moses commanded the children, saying, this is the land you shall inherit by lot. All of the land that's mentioned, whether you know what these cities are or not, they would inherit. David actually conquered a lot of those lands, and during the time of Solomon, they got the inheritance that God had given them. It says, you will inherit it by lot. Listen to me. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll see an inheritance God gives you by special gifts. Those are your gifts. And the hand, it can't say, I need to be the foot. That's not your inheritance. The eye can't say, I want to smell today. That's not your inheritance. Okay? The head or the eyes can't say, I want to be the toes. What I'm saying is, you have an inheritance in God. Not only do you have an inheritance in walking in his way through his grace, is able to build you up, you have certain gifts and talents. That's why an older man like me, if I see some gifts or something that's in Patrick, I'm not supposed to be jealous of him. What I'm supposed to do is do what I can to help him be built up and have his inheritance to do what God wants him to do in his inheritance. It should be the same thing for everybody that's in here. Patrick, I thought I'd throw that out there because I used to be young like you. And people despised me. And that helped me. What it says in verse 13, Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, this is the land you shall inherit by lot, which Yahweh commanded to give the 9 tribes, the 9.5 tribes. The reason it's 9.5, because the other 2.5 got theirs on the other side of Jordan. They got on one side, they came up, they got the other side, they got theirs instead of going into the land of promise, because they came from the south and went up on one side of Jordan and crossed back over. That might not matter that much to you, but I want you to see what's going on in 15, please. The 2.5 tribes, they got their inheritance on the other side of Jordan. And I've already shown you that some people get their inheritance before others. I've shown you in the evangelical community. I've shown you in the community that was not restricted by laws, by Jim Crow, that were not by rape, rob, and pillaging, and not allowed to read for about 70 years, and not having their properties and lands decimated and having their culture taken, they already received their inheritance. They were able to build up the College of New Jersey, which became Princeton. They were able to build up Yale. They were able to own land and properties many times before we were able to. They got their inheritance. but they all were supposed to have an inheritance among them that are sanctified. But I showed you that in the world that we have right now, many of our evangelical brothers, many, not all, understand the words, many is not all. Many of our evangelical brothers have already received the benefit of what they can have in America, and they can have the freedoms in this law. They don't go with us to get our inheritance. They say you got affirmative action, as if that, so that we can determine that that's enough. We can determine that we've given you thus and so. We've given you schools that teach our history and it limited your history to you being savages. We've given you what we want you to have. We've given you different things that you're supposed to teach that you don't have to obey God. That once you're saved, you're always saved. The grace of God will allow you to do anything. We've given you an inheritance. We've given you an inheritance that we got satellite TV. You can get on our TV if you say what we want you to say. We can edit it. We've given you schools that we can teach your children Marxism, socialism, atheism, and we can make that be the norm. We've given you from our inheritance. Don't tell me that Christian churches don't teach that. Have you heard of Bishop Shelby Spahn? Have you ever heard of many of the churches that teach inclusion? There are people that claim that they are Buddhist, Christians, etc. Did I say all? I did not. Qualifiers mean something in the American English language. But let's get back to the sweetest point. So the Lord spake to Moses. I'm in verse 16. He spake to Moses, these are the men that will divide the inheritance. Every one of these men is going to divide the inheritance of princes. They're going to go through every tribe and divide the inheritance. And the two that I want to mention the most is Joshua and Caleb. Caleb's name means dog or impetuous. People make fun of Peter and they say he's impetuous. Well, go back and look at Caleb. Show me something Peter did that was stupid that you can make fun of him and you'd have done better. He cut the man's ear off. You wouldn't have cut the man's ear off for the Lord if you didn't know any better. I would have. If I knew who he was like Peter did. And I've seen him raise the dead. I've seen him walk on the water. I've seen him all night I've been fishing. And it's like, we're putting up the net. You know how heavy this is. Throw it on the rice. At your word. Oh God, I'm a sinful man. We ain't never caught this many fish before. Somebody gonna kill him? And I know who he is? Yeah, I would fight for him. You can make fun of him because you looking backwards and you understand the rest of the story. But there's some things Peter did that you wouldn't do. So what, he curses where? You curse and swear and fornicate and adulterate and homosexuate and go along with everything, and you got something to say about Peter. Slow it down, Tim. You will fornicate, you will homosexuate, you will lie, you will vote and uphold things that are wicked and are wrong, you'll mistreat your wife, you'll mistreat your children, you'll do things wrong on the job, you will lie, you will do things, but you got something to say about Peter because he cursed and swear, say he didn't know the man after he had seen his master get pulled off by mob. His master getting beaten. And you don't even have to get beaten. All you got to do is be tempted. Or don't go along with the evangelical community. You won't stand up. Because somebody tell you that name is Reverend this or the Reverend that. Let me tell you, if you're telling me your name Reverend, I start looking at you with a jaundiced eye. And I know what jaundice is, okay? Why are you telling me you're the Reverend? You might as well tell me you're Fire Marshal Bill. You might as well tell me you're Captain Kangaroo. You might as well, because you look like you're giving me a title to make me respect you. When we saw the Lord's Christ at the well, the woman didn't know who she was talking to, did she? You said, well, you know, I perceive you're a prophet. No, you got the wrong marker there. The prophet is what you should be saying. The prophet Moses talks about. Well, when Messiah comes, okay. I to speak to thee, am he. It was like, he's appeared unto me. So I'm saying, when you look and you see all of the things that we got, all of the things that have been given to us, and all of the times that you see people raise their name up to be something, they are giving themselves often an inheritance. I'm not saying every time. I'm not saying. But I tell people, I'm Tim. Sometimes they say pastor. Sometimes they say, are you a reverend, you a preacher? I say, yeah, but I say, did you call Peter, Peter? Yeah. Do you call Paul, Paul? Yeah. I said, do you call the Messiah Jesus? Yeah, so why I got to have this big fancy title? My wife knew him, her husband, she called me Tim. But on her phone, it'll say husband. I saw it. I looked at it. It makes me smile. But here's the point that we must, that I gave you all a mental break. If we don't begin to see that we have an inheritance, if we don't see that God gave them a man like Caleb, that you call impetuous, and you make fun of him, but look at your own life. And then he gave him Joshua or Yahushua. That's the same kind of name that we use for Jesus. Yahweh is salvation. He gave him somebody that was just as bold, somebody that was just as dedicated, somebody that did not play. There's one thing you can say about Peter. He didn't play, and he didn't take any crap unless the Lord told him to take it. And when he did do wrong, look at him crying. Do we cry? No, we get arrogant. Well, the Lord forgave me for that. I'm already forgiven. Really? You got that? Where you get that from? Grace God don't tell you to go mess up and do that. Well, chapter 34 deals with the inheritance. It deals with the given. It deals with boundaries. I want you to understand they had physical boundaries. But when we get to this 35 here, there's boundaries that you're going to see that's physical. But yet, I would say there are, metaphysically speaking, when I speak of metaphysically, I'm speaking of these are real boundaries that you don't see sometimes. Let me say it like this. You have a boundary in your life that you better not go into a place with that the air has already been sucked out of and go in there to stand. You got a physical boundary that you might not see that you'll die. If you go jump in water, you have no equipment. There's a boundary. Your lungs only supposed to have a certain amount of moisture, and it's not supposed to be filled with water. Okay? There are boundaries that you have if you slap the wrong person. I'm just telling you. If you see that person, there's a boundary. Well, he's going to show them how these boundaries work in his government. And the first thing is that God is light. God is life. His son is life. And this boundary in chapter 35 is dealing with one of the most important boundaries that we have, the sacredness of life, because we are made in the image of God. So when you get your inheritance, you always must remember the sacredness of life which is given by God. You must always remember his government. Therefore, any government, any rule of what you would call Christianity, if it's people that are Hebrews, if it's people that's in a cult, if they violate this boundary, they're taking your inheritance. Okay? When the Declaration of Independence talking about we are created by, all men are created by our creators, but they can do life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Actually, that was the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of property. And the Negroes, I didn't say nigger that time, but that's what they were called then. They were called niggers. That's what we were called. And when they said we were created equal, that meant all men except the slaves were created equal. Because there are too many documents when they say we were animals. There are too many experiments that they did to say because we were animals. They would do experiments on us and say that they didn't even need anesthesia because the Negro could take pain. In my book, Medical Apartheid, they would amputate legs a lot of times without anesthesia. Okay, I'm just saying. But God gave us an inheritance. So let's look at how important life is. And Yahweh spake, this is 35:1, Yahweh spake in the land of Moab and Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possessions, cities to dwell in, and this ye also do in the suburbs of your cities round about them. And these cities shall they have to dwell in the suburbs of them, to be for their cattle, for their goods, and their beasts. When you get your inheritance, remember those that I have put to guard the holiness that I have. Remember, and that you look out for those that are going to teach my word. You look out for those that are going to train you and instruct you so that you can operate in my kingdom and not be plagued. Am I right? Have I reduced it down that you can see the nugget? You are to take care of them because I'm their inheritance, and I said do it. It's not the fact you love them. It's not. It's the fact that I have given them an inheritance. And the inheritance is that they were to teach you. They were to instruct you. They were to come to me and go to you because they serve me. Read Exodus chapter 28. And he made them priests for him to go to the people, not the other way around. That's why you don't take a consensus to see what people want to do. You take a consensus from what God says. God is the majority. Am I right? I know I am. Verse number 4. In 3, you see that they had cattle. So they would have cattle and things like that, but they would have the outskirts or past the land for them, but that would not be their inheritance. 4. And the suburbs of the city you would give to the Levites, it shall reach the wall of the city outward and out 1,000 cubits round about. In other words, when you see that, you understand God has given them in your land. Place as well. Why? I believe it's the 23rd chapter, maybe 25 and 23. I hate when I don't remember something, but it was talking about the year Jubilee. God told them, the land is mine. All you are is tenants on it. Somebody look that up for me. I think it's either Leviticus 20, it is 25, 23. Thank you, Gary. Gary said I'm right. So if I'm wrong, he's wrong too. And so, and in the fifth verse, it says, you shall measure without the you shall measure from without the city on the east side 1,000 cubits, south side 2,000 cubits, and you're going to do the same thing on the north side, and you're going to do this for the suburbs of the city. I want you to understand something. When they go and they do these things, this land is not for you to go in and say, we're going to have this. Because when you go and you look, do you all remember in the book of Judges chapter 19? Do you all remember when a man stole something from his mother and then he decided what he was going to do is he was going to go and he was going to hire himself out? It's because they stopped supporting their leaders. They stopped supporting those that were doing God's will. At any time when you stop supporting God's people and God has told you to do it, you put yourself in the position to not know the boundaries and to know what your inheritance is. 1,000 cubits is usually what you would call like 1,000 yards. A yard is 3 feet, so you're like 3,000 feet, okay? Got it? Even if that don't match it, but a mile is 5,280 feet. So you could say a mile, about a little half of a mile. Did that help a little bit? If you're riding in your GPS and it's saying 0.2 miles, and you can see the light up there, that's close to about the area. That comes from my GPS to say 0.2 miles. A little bit further than that, that's how much they got. It's a pretty good swath, but it's not huge. It's not. If you owned that much and had to mow it, it would be a lot, but it's not a whole lot. Verse 5, it says, and you shall measure from the city on the east side. I read that. Number 6, among the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall be 6 cities of refuge. This is important for you to know. And inside of God's boundaries, inside of your inheritance, God understands that there are going to be issues. So you have 6 cities of refuge which you shall appoint for the manslayer that he may flee thither, and to them shall you add 42 cities. In other words, they're going to have 48 cities, but 6 cities are the cities of refuge. That is, you could call that, but you would be wrong on some points, a sanctuary city. I think that's where they get that from. But I want you to see the bastardization of what we call a sanctuary city versus what God calls a city. You see, the Levites are the people that kill people. The Levites killed these people in Shechem. Levi and Simeon, they killed Shechem because he had raped Dinah, and they tricked him. Say, if you get circumcised, you can be like us, and we'll be and the men of Shechem say we can have their goods, we can have their wives and their children. For instance, we can assimilate and we can take over their culture. This is what's happening with us. This is what a lot of the activist groups are doing. This is what the progressive movement, we will take you all and we will assimilate. We will make you in our image. We will make you in our likeness. So God says there's a city of refuge that if a man kills a man, he may flee and you will have that city. But what is that for? What is the city of refuge? Let's look and see, because in God's government, he wants no one put to death that don't deserve to be. 7, So all the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities. You shall give in their suburbs, and the cities which you shall give shall be in the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many, give many. From them that shall give few. Everyone shall give of his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance. He inherited. In other words, there is not what you call social Marxism. If there's a few, they don't get as much as those that have a lot. You got 50,000 people in this tribe, or 100,000. You're going to give them the same thing that you gave somebody to just have 10,000? No, they need more. You're going to give the one that's 10,000 equal to the one that have 100,000 or 50,000? No, you don't. I'm giving you based upon what you can do. You ought to understand something about God. God does not expect more of me than what he knows I can do. But there's some people sometimes that don't have the mental capacity that I have, and I don't have the mental capacity of other people. I don't believe that God wants me to act like my inheritance is to do everything this other person does or somebody that don't have mine. I know a man one time that felt that he had more capacity in his brain than other people, and some people have issues because of medication, some were getting older, and yeah, don't do it like I do. And I try to explain, everybody doesn't have the same ability. I had to learn that. My wife said, Tim, you have some gifts. I said, what? This thing comes I read. I mean, this thing comes I read it. I know what I know and I understand. But then when you start realizing some people read it and they don't retain it. Did I earn it? I tried to, but there was already a gift there for me to work with. But this is what he's saying here. You don't expect the same from everybody. You expect them according to their ability. And it goes to tell that in the New Testament when it talks about giving. Every man gives according to his ability. Am I right? I know I am. Listen to verse number 9. And Yahweh spake to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, when I keep my word and give you inheritance. Listen again. This is important. Then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person unawares. You kill somebody and you don't know it. That's what it means. 12. And they shall be to you as cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer dieth not until. Listen to that word. Underline it in your mind. What color you going to use, Gary Green? What color you going to use, Patrick Red? Blue? Because I'm trying to draw attention to that word. Until. It says, and they shall be cities of refuge from the avenger. The avenger is a very important person in the Bible. The avenger is the goel, that the manslayer died not until, get like the Baptist, until he stand before the congregation in judgment. There was never a city of refuge that you could just kill somebody and go and be saved. That's the point. The city of refuge where you could go there if you kill somebody and you didn't know it and you found out about it. There is an avenger. The avenger of blood is the same avenger of blood in Romans chapter 13, verse 4. At this particular time, it's anybody in the family that's kin. You kill somebody in my family, you kill innocent blood. It wouldn't have mattered if you was an abortionist. It wouldn't have mattered if you were throwing rocks out in the wood and one bust somebody in the head and kill them. It wouldn't matter if you had a house and you didn't put a fence around it and they fell off accidentally. You would be put to death because you didn't put the fence on it. And so what God is saying is if it's accidental, you didn't mean to do it, you can run to the city of refuge and be safe until you had the trial. That is not what we call a sanctuary city, where you can rape little white girls and rape little white girls and rape little white boys and kill little white boys in Europe and do all kind of things like that. And you can go in and put your religion in there. You can come and do the same thing in America. You can hurt our people, kill our children, and abort our children, and go to Pennsylvania, California, and have a city of refuge and have no trial and not be judged. That is not what God said. That is an abomination. Your boundary is to have a trial, and God is going to let you know what the sentence is in the trial if somebody kills somebody accidentally or on purpose. Am I clear? We're talking about the government of God. If you have no people, you have no government. Am I correct? So he's starting at the principal point, life. Verse 13. Of these cities shall you give six cities they shall have for refuge. 14. And you shall give three cities on this side of Jordan. That's where the other people got their inheritance. And three shall you give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities will be refuge for the children of Israel and for the stranger. Did you notice that the stranger has to go to the same place? He doesn't get a sanctuary city where he can do what he wants to. No, he goes to the sanctuary. He goes, I don't even want to call it sanctuary because that's messed up. He goes to the city of refuge and he gets tried like anybody else. And if he's guilty, he'll be put to death. Isn't that pretty? Do you like a kingdom like that? Do you like a government like that? It wouldn't matter if you're a big boy or a little boy or a rich boy or a poor boy. If you're the son of a prince, you're the son of a king, you're the son of a Levite. It didn't give no qualifications like that. Life is sacred. The Bible says these cities, I'm in 15, both for the children of Israel, for the stranger, for the sojourner among them. You can just be visited. But you're under that law. And everyone that killeth the person unawares, they flee thither. That's a qualification, isn't it? Every one of these people did it by accident. But listen to 16. And if he's an instrument of iron so that he dies, he's a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. This is kingdom rules, you all. This is the boundary. The boundary is you give up your freedom when you murder somebody. The boundary is thou shalt not kill. A murderer. He said he is a murderer. Let's look at some more. 17. And if he smite him with throwing a stone, whereby he die, and he is a murderer. And he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. This is under the government of God. The life is precious. The life is sacred. Sacred. Do not go past this boundary. This is your inheritance that you should be defending if someone kills you or someone in your family. Treat him. 18, or if he smite him with a hand, if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood. You know how some people have a baseball bat? Remember how they used to beat, sometimes they would beat, they would have gangs in his baseball bat? If he smite him with a hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. 19, the revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. This is the righteous judgment of God. When you say that you don't put him to death, you have taken part of my inheritance to have justice. It's supposed to be my inheritance to have justice. When our son was killed, we were supposed to have justice. Somebody took our inheritance. Am I telling the truth and dreaming? You start saying we're going to rehabilitate him. God didn't say rehabilitate him. God said put him to death. God knows what he's doing. But you call yourself got a different way to do it, and you taking our inheritance and giving me your thoughts, your philosophies, the American laws, Chinese laws, Japanese laws. We have an inheritance, and this in this inheritance right here. They hadn't even got to the land yet. And he said, this is your inheritance. Damn, am I right? And he said, when you go there, have a city of refuge, that's part of your inheritance to have justice. He starts out with the justice and the sacredness of life, and if you don't see it, you're going to miss everything about the city of refuge. Now, I've said it three different ways. That's enough. Verse number 22. I need to do 21. It says, or if an enemy or an enmity, you angry, you smite him with the hand that he die, then he that smote him shall surely be put to death. He is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. You don't need hate crime laws. Every time you kill somebody, you're a murderer. Now, whether it's unaware, and you go to the city of refuge, that's one thing. But if you don't like me, I'm just as dead if you kill me because I'm black as I am if you kill me because I said something you don't like. Am I still dead? Am I still dead because I wouldn't give you some of my food? Am I still dead because you were shooting out randomly at people in the crowd? I'm still dead. We make up laws and we take away that which God has and we have proven upon them. No. What you're doing is you're using legislation so that we lose our inheritance to speak out against the wickedness that you do, and you put it under umbrella of hate crime. And once you put the truth under that label of hate crime, you can say that person is inciting to kill somebody. I know what you're doing, and so does God. Verse number 21, 22. But if he thrust them suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying in wait, or with a stone wherewith any man die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. Again, a proper trial must be carried out to determine the exact circumstances of the death. This is beautiful. So when you see that right there, do you remember Gary as a child in the, when we would live and it was more wooded than it is now, and you would just throw rocks to see how far you could throw rocks, try to hit the top of trees or try to hit certain trees up so you can see if you can throw straight? What if somebody had been out there laying down, taking a nap, or out there crouched down trying to shoot a squirrel or, you know, hunting, and we out there throwing rocks, and the rock hit somebody in the head and killed them? You know, you just don't realize, and sometimes you could just shoot like people shoot up in the air, and sometimes people die. He said you're still a murderer. And so in this case here, if the person did it accidentally, that person still got to be tried because the revenger of blood ready to put him to death. So the trial is between the revenger of blood, do I get to follow through on my inheritance and put him to death? Or this person, I didn't mean to, I didn't know, I'm sorry. They judge. And then it says this is the judgment. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to understand this. You say he killed this person unaware, he still held account for it. Let's taste two or three scriptures. Listen to Joshua 2 and 19. Joshua 2 and 19, it says, it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house in the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on his head, and if any man's hand be upon him. This is when Rahab knew that God was giving the land to the people, and she wanted her life preserved. They said, we're going to hang this scarlet cord out the window. But if you don't stay in the house, you're going to be guilty of your own murder. Or if you don't have your people in your house, you'll be guilty. Blood guilt is the same as murder. I need you to understand that it's expanded. If she didn't tell them, all of them would have died. Those that she'd have let go out, they'd have died. They'd have been blood guilty. You say, well, Tim, I don't grasp that. Let's look at it in Kings, in 1 Kings 2 and 33. Okay? It says, their blood shall be, therefore, return upon the head of Joab and the head of his seed forever. But David and his seed and upon his house and his throne, there shall be peace. When Joab goes out and kills somebody against God's will, the blood will be on him. I'm only going to give you one more in Ezekiel 33 and 5. This is the main one I wanted anyway. God is talking about the ministers, the prophets, the priests. He says, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not the warning. His blood shall be upon him. He that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. What's going on in this passage here? If an individual hears the man when he preach and he doesn't do, he's guilty of suicide if he's telling you the truth. But look at what the Bible says about the preacher. In the 33rd chapter, in the first verse, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33 and 1. The word of the Lord came to me saying, speak to the true individual and say, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for a watchman. Watchman is one that's doing God's will, teaching people that's the job of the Levites and the prophets. If he see if the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever hear the sound of the trumpet and take not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood will be on his own head. It's equal to suicide. Fifth, if he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not the warning, his blood will be upon him. His blood, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his own iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. That's a whole lot to say this. The Levites were letting them know about the cities of refuge. The Levites were letting them know what God's judgment was about life and death. But if the Levites fail to do their job, if the Levites did not, if they fail to have a city of refuge, if they fail to deliver the person that was supposed to be delivered in the city of refuge that did not deserve to die, they would be culpable. Somebody said, Tim, how does that fit for us now? Look at Ezekiel. If you got preachers telling you you can live any way you want to, we're doing inclusion. We're going to say God doesn't deal with truth. Truth doesn't matter anymore. Justice doesn't matter anymore. If they fail to warn you of doing God's justice, anything that God said would cause you to be put to death, they're guilty. You're going to be guilty because you didn't do it on your own, but you're going to be guilty because they didn't teach you. So what he says, the trumpet coming and warning, I'm warning you all to get rid of black people. I'm warning you all that they have laws that are on the books right now that would destroy us. I'm warning you all that they bring other people to give them what they should have been given to us. I'm warning you that they're doing things in our culture to get rid of our males, to make it acceptable. Just like Calvin Klein did the thing with this man and called him a first transgender model. They got certain things that they're teaching in our schools. They're getting rid of us. I'm warning you, if you don't take heed to the warning and turn back to God and turn back to his holy word and live a righteous life and you are damned, I'm going to be free. But if I'm like a preacher that love you and we're going to have fun and we're going to sing and we're going to eat chitlins and we're going to go out to the park and we're going to do all of this stuff and get Patrick face up like not chitlins. But the point being made is if he doesn't warn you, I warn you about fornication because I know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. I warn you about homosexuality because I know that the abuser of themselves with mankind shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm familiar that the Bible says that mankind and abuser themselves with mankind. I warn you about murder. I warn you about staying outside of God's word. I warn you. Why is that? It's because of the fact that if you don't want a person, you are killing them whether you know it or not, unawares. Somebody say, Tim, you made a stretch. Then why is it God says here that if you don't, his blood is upon your hand? Read it again, because our folk don't understand it. But if the watchman see the sword coming and blow not the trumpet, in other words, tell the people the truth, and the people be not warned, and the sword come and take away any person from among them, I will require his blood at the watchman's hand. And Paul said the same thing fits because in the book of Acts, he said, I am guiltless of the blood of all men, for I am not shunned to give you the whole counsel of God. The city of refuge should be the place where the people that know the word of God tells you how to not participate in any murderous thing, anything that God would put you to death for. The government of God will put people to death. We say, well, we don't see God put people to death. Well, let's say you die with a heart attack and they put COVID. Or let's just say you die with a heart attack and they say heart attack. What caused it? Did God smite you? Say you have a stroke. Did he smite you? Did he put you to death? I mean, do you think God has forgotten how to smite people? Do you think he has forgotten how to strike somebody dead? Look at the lifestyle people live. This is what I do. When something come on me, I ask myself, what have you been doing? Is this God chastening you for something? Or is this a test? One way I determine if it's a test, I know I didn't do anything to get this. I'm going to take it as a test. But when I was in my dirt, I would always be thinking, God, get me. You're in the city of refuge. That's what you got. God is providing life. And the person is supposed to be put to death for that. We could also say the same thing, and I'm not going to read it in Leviticus chapter 20, 9 through 16. When you curse father or mother, when you strike father or mother, they're in the image of God for you. And when you do that, you are saying in effigy, you might as well be dead. You're cutting them off. You're taking their inheritance. You are ascribing it to yourself. It's just like you're plundering them. Someone say, Tim, that's a stretch. Look at what God's judgments are for certain things. And then you can extrapolate backwards. If he puts you to death for murder, if he puts you to death for blasphemy, if he puts you to death for murder because it's in the image of God, he puts you to death when you speak blasphemous words like you killing God with your words, or if you had the words, you could do it like he can do you, he put to death when you do father and mother. So somebody said, Tim, I don't like that. Well, I'm just telling you now, the city of refuge wouldn't help the person that cursed father and mother. I think I would have, if I'd have done something like that, I think I'd have ran to the city of God. I didn't mean to do that. City of, no. It's going to be put to death. But let's go back to our original text so we can finish. So I want you to see that. In 24, that's where we were. The congregation will judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood, these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. The revenger of blood is the one that executes God's judgment. God's kingdom is about life. There's no one supposed to come in and kill us. We're not supposed to be killing our own babies. And we're not supposed to just say because a person that's on a blue uniform, he can kill somebody for something God didn't say they could be put to death for. Again, we are not supposed to be going in line with the conservatives that every time a black man is killed or something, well, he used to do meth. Well, he had a bad check. Or he had a counterfeit dollar bill. And let me say this and get this clear. Please look at me, young people. This is important. I'm very upset and I'm outdone. Then in my world of white brothers, I'm not saying all of them, but the ones that control the media, the ones that control the narratives in the Democrat and the Republican Party, I'm tired of hearing about George Floyd. I'm tired of hearing about George Floyd over Ahmaud Arbery. Ahmaud Arbery. I said, I'm tired of hearing that as if Ahmaud Arbery was not chased down and hunted. Let's not forget he was chased down, hunted, hit with a vehicle, trapped, and shot down, and a whole city, a whole police department was going to let it go. And they brought this other one that they could go and get some political hay off of. But this man was hunted down, and they were going to make that city like the city of refuge. They hunted him. And let me tell you something. I'll be 60 next year if God be willing. I was coming home from a city the other night on the phone with my wife. I took a wrong turn in the GPS. That I'll still take you home. They said, recalculating. Patrick, I'm going through areas where there are no lights. All I see is woods and land. And I don't think it's been a long time since I had that feeling. What if I break down? I don't know what lives out here, who lives out here. It was an amazing feeling. You know, because animals would be out that way too, but I'm just saying. I didn't used to think like that. Do you remember when we would go back and forth? Did you ever drive Maryland and Jay to Tacoa? I used to drive them sometime at night in Tacoa. No, I wasn't worried. Different city, you all. I would drive there, take Marilyn home at night. Sometimes it'd be the moon would be so bright because I'd be the only car I could see the for miles look like. I'd turn the light off and say, God, you can really drive by the moon. I was younger then. I was afraid. Do not forget what is happening. I do not believe Ahmaud Arbery is the only person that's been hunted down and shot. I don't know if these people that are being hanged by people like in Antifa. They are willing for the sake of political clout to paint BLM on buildings. They are willing to burn down buildings to get stuff stirred up. Why wouldn't they be willing to hang somebody black to get people stirred up? God is about life. There's one thing when you got a thing and a person, they killing somebody, got his knee on his neck. I don't know how that thing happened. I don't know what's going on. I know it's wicked. But don't you ever let that override the fact that they hunted this man here. That one was done in front of people. This was going to be in the dark and stay in the dark. They chased him. They hunted him. Then the man took the gun and shot him and stood up and called him an effing nigger. Better be glad I just said effing. Be aware. That in the kingdom of God, those men would have been put to death. The avenger of blood would be able to put them to death. righteous laws would have already had those men put to death. And anybody that's participated in it, and anybody that has done other people like that in that time. And when I say I'm tired of you making George Floyd make you forget about what happened to Ahmaud. This man was running for his life. Can you imagine running for your life? And you're about 24 years old. You know, you're closer to 24 than I am. You know how much juice you got in your body, how much strength and adrenaline, and you running. And they chasing you in the car. They got to do is mash the pedal. So the congregation will deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. That's what they were going to do. They were going to deliver that person like it was a sanctuary city. So wicked. And the congregation shall restore him to the city of refuge, whither he fled. He shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. In other words, if you kill somebody accidentally, you make to the city of refuge. The family don't get to put you to death, but you have to stay there till the high priest died, whether it's 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 2 years, to the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. Because at the death of the high priest, you get a change of administration of who's the high priest. But the slayer, listen to this, verse 26. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of refuge where he was led, and the revenger of blood find him without the border of his city, then the revenger of blood shall kill the slayer. See that? And the revenger of blood kill the slayer. He shall not be guilty of blood. In other words, when you're in the city of refuge and the high priest is not dead, and say your mama died, and you go back out that city and go to the funeral, the revenger of blood get to put you to death. That's a great theological picture. You see, once he's in the city of refuge, he's saved. Once he's in there, he's safe. Once they had to try, he is safe. The revenger of blood cannot come and pluck him out. Do you hear me? The revenge of blood can't just come again. But if Quaiton moves from his safety, being inside of the city of refuge, then he's in a position to be put to death. Do you realize that our revenge of blood is also our safety net, or our city of refuge, the Christ? When we're in him, we're in refuge. But the picture is leaving. If you leave him, the same one that's your refuge is the same one that avenges blood. How do you get that? 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. You that are troubled rest with us when the Lord shall come in flame and vengeance, bringing judgment on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of God. It was the same kind of picture in the ark. If they could have jumped out of the ark, they'd have drowned. Am I right? I just look like this. The next verse, it says, verse 28. Because he should have remained in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return to his own land of possession. So, these things shall be for statutes and judgment throughout your generation and all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person is a murderer. The murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses, but one witness shall not testify against any person to put him to death. This is why when people tell you the woman caught in adultery, Jesus forgave her, don't know what they're talking about. He says, woman, where are thine accusers? Where are they? She said, there are none. You know what it says? And it say that a murderer will not be put to death, but by witnesses. It was the same thing for adultery. It's the same thing, but we're not reading it right now. The death penalty always had to have those kind of witnesses. Next verse, it says, moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of the murderer. Someone murders somebody, they cannot pay. They cannot pay a ransom because the person is guilty of death. But he shall surely be put to death. Now, there is one time when satisfaction can be taken when a person is put to death. If I can, I'm going to click to it. I believe it's chapter 21. I'm going to look and see Exodus 21. And let me try verse number 16. It's important for me to show you this because a lot of times people don't know this, and I want them to see that one's not it. That's not it. That's not it. That's not it. All right, it's 29. Let's look at 28 and 29. If an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. This goes back to Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, where it talks about if a man kills a man, he be put to death, same thing for an animal. Listen to 29. But if the ox were wont to push his horn in the past, if it had been that the ox had been jabbing people with his horn in the past, and it had been testified to the owner, and he kept him not in, but if he has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner shall be put to death. Did you get that? If the ox had been doing that to people before and has been told the owner, your ox is out here doing stuff, is poking people, is trying to kill people, and you didn't put him up, and he killed somebody, the ox get put to death, you get put to death. This is why I said in the case with our son, that chief of police, that partner knew that their car was messed up. They knew, and all the officers knew that power steering, because the D told his mama 12 days before he died, if somebody ever pull out in front of me, I will not be able to recover. This car is bad. Police told us we used to ride around with this car with power steering fluid in it. He was warned. He knew and bought two Tahoes for himself. Made my son, made her son, made our son drive that car anyway for his job. And when he was killed, they didn't want to do right. That's why I say they're responsible. I'm not coming from what I think. I'm not coming from BLM. I'm coming from God's law code. Now, the same thing applies if you got a pit bull. You know that dog been chasing children. You know it has bitten some children. And you were able to get away. Now, it kills one. The dog should be put to death, not in the humane society, and you should be put to death. Now, listen to verse 30. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. Whether he has gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to this judgment, it shall be done unto him. In other words, the ransom is not paying. The ransom is not paying to get the child back. It's paying to keep you from being put to death. It's your ransom. What does that have to do with this verse? When you see when he says in verse 32, go back to Numbers 35 and 31, moreover, he shall not take satisfaction or ransom for the life of the murderer, which is guilty of death. But he shall surely be put to death, and you shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land unto the death of the priest. So in other words, intentional murder, no ransom. No ransom, saints, only for unintentional. So can we say, well, with your son, since you brought him up, it was intentional? We definitely can say it's gross neglect. We can definitely say that there are some things that we know that were being said by our son of inequity that would put you in a position where you might have to drive that kind of car, but anyway. The point being made, so shall you not pollute the land wherein you are. For blood defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Was America founded with peace and love and roses? Were the people that had lived here before, the black people that they don't like to talk about, the Folsom people, the Olmec people, O-L-M-E-C people that lived here? Were the people that were living here that came from Asia, were they treated well or were they killed? What about the people that you brought over here on slave ships? Were they just killed randomly? Actually, you got killed more under convict leasing because you got killed in Maine because under convict leasing, we lease you when we need you. And if you get killed, we get another one. At one time, at least you were part of people's money. And then when the insurance company started insuring the slaves, guess what? When the insurance company started insuring the slaves, a lot of slaves would get old and they would just die. They could be put to death. They could be made work till they die. So the insurance company started dealing with certain criterion before they would let you make a claim. But America's full of that blood. It's full of the blood that maybe in any unjust wars that we've had. 19 million black babies. I don't know how many white babies through abortion. How many? How many abortions have people had that didn't know because the doctor said you got to have a certain kind of operation and they just want to kill the baby? You have a sister. You have a sister. They wanted to abort her baby. This land is full of blood. It's full of the blood physically of ancestors. It's full of the blood of people that have to die excruciating death because they were being experimented on. It's full of the death of babies, unwanted babies, where you told them for so long that they weren't even human. They told them it was just a fetus. This land is filled with blood. God has got to judge it. And many of us, our hands are filled with blood. We better repent because the avenger of blood is real. You better find a place of refuge in the Lord's Christ. You should not pollute the land where any are politicians. Let me say this. I'd be remiss. So many politicians' hands are filled with blood. You want to take somebody's gold. You want to take somebody's silver. You want to take somebody's land. You want to spread democracy, whereas you're not even acting like a democracy. Over here, you're acting like an oligarchy. Oligarchy is where a few people rule. He says the land cannot be cleansed of blood unless the blood shed therein. So by the blood of him that shed it, defiled therefore not the land which you shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, while I, Yahweh, dwell among the children of Israel. You give you a blue suit or whatever color suit your police wear. If you're killing people indiscriminately, if you're killing them inside when you lock them up, the land is filled with blood. As my wife asked me the other day, what if it just been a regular person with his knee on the neck of George Floyd? Whether a person said it was staged or not, I don't care. The image is there. What if? Would people have still let it go on? I doubt it. But you see, there's that thing, they'll shoot me if I interfere. Do you think the blood of Ahmaud Arbery is not crying out? Like the babies? Do you think the blood of those people that are hanged? Do you think that the concentration of the acts that's being done on us to take our lives? The Bible talks about taking lives in two ways. It takes about life when you steal a man. That's why when you kidnap a person, be put to death, you've taken his life. But again, a lot of times we don't study God's righteous laws. So we don't understand the government of the kingdom. But the one warning he gave, in 34, you might not see it as a warning, but it's a warning. Defile not therefore the land which you shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I, Yahweh, dwell among the children of Israel. Why is that a warning? Hebrews 12:28. Let's drop and see what the writer that's still talking to the Hebrew people said. Wherefore, seeing we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. It didn't say a grace that we can do what we want to do. Let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a what? That's what we're talking about right there. So what did we see? What did he tell them? What did he tell the children when they went in because the parents died in the wilderness? Deuteronomy 4:24. He says, for Yahweh thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. So when you get to the land in the city of refuge, I dwell there. You better not show partiality when Quayton kills somebody and you like him. You better not let him pay ransom. I'm here. You let him pay ransom, but he should have been put to death. The land is still defiled. You let somebody off with murder. You let them out in 6 or 7 years. The land is still defiled with blood. Psalm 21:9. What does the psalmist say? Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. Yahweh shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall deliver them. You want to know what the writer of Hebrews say? Like, I know who he is. But for those that are weak-kneed, in jelly bat or jello bat, listen to what Paul says. Because you say, Paul says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Don't make me sick. please don't make me sick with your bastardization of the scripture. Paul is the one that said that he does not, the avenger does not bear the sword in vain, but he is the minister of God to revenge evil. 13 and 4 Romans. Isn't Paul the one that said that? Somebody tell me I'm wrong and let me see that you lie. See, you won't do it. Okay, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Murderers, do you think murderers cause tribulation to people? Oh, that's just one aspect of people causing tribulation. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation upon them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Remember, he's a consuming fire. Taking vengeance. We're talking about vengeance. He is our avenger of blood. He is our Goel. He also has given that to us. And we've given it to what you call the secular, the atheist, the Buddhist, and everybody else, because we wouldn't take it. Taking vengeance on them that know not God, them that don't know in deepest, darkest Europe, and those that obey not the gospel of God. Taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. We have an inheritance, but our inheritance is life, not death. Our inheritance has boundaries. And one of the first boundaries that was set up is a boundary that everything is not yours. There are certain things that are going to go to those people that give my word and teach my instruction, because those people are important to me, because they are my ministers doing my job. There's another boundary, that the murderer should be put to death. But those that do it unwittingly, there's a boundary. You can't put everybody to death indiscriminately. The one that didn't, there should be a city of refuge. Tim, how would you do a city of refuge now? I definitely would make sure you didn't stay in the same city. I would make sure that. They're not going to feed you. They're not going to take care of you in that city. They're not going to have to see you. You'd have to work it out. I don't know if you'd work it out. Judge die to the people, but when we become self-ruling and self-governing like God say, it'll be a lot easier to work out. But as long as we mix with other cultures and you bring in every other culture, every other race, every other religion, you will never get to the things of God, because they're going to always be intolerant of God's word, and they're going to always be tolerant of their own. The murderer should be put to death. The abortionist should be put to death. Those that go and take the lives of others, actually false ministers should be put to death. If you're telling people lies and telling them to live any kind of way outside of God's will, you should be put to death. And just because we don't do it does not mean that God has not gotten you marked for that. Because you see in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, we see that there's a time when the Lord himself will do that which has not been done. You're not going to get away. He's in the midst of us. Cities of refuge, mercy of God, to protect those that didn't do it, a sin that they were unaware of, but they were still guilty. This is what is called a mistake, but there's still consequences. Nowadays, somebody go lay up with somebody, well, it was a mistake. Well, one thing just led to another. You know, you should let me come back in the house and have sex with you. I've been laying up with all this other woman and got all of her on me and got all of my me on her, and then I'm going to come and put my her and me on you. No. Yeah, you're going to treat your wife like that, dude, please. Same thing with the woman. Life is sacred. This land is full of blood. Our inheritance is life. Before we even deal with anything else, our inheritance is life, and anything that impedes life is a cause of death. You're not training your children. You're not teaching your children. You're not modeling to your children. You're not modeling to those that are under you. You're not doing things that promote the life and justice of those that would be killed or put to death unlawfully. And you have the ability to do something. You are aiding in it. And to what extent God's going to deal, make you culpable? I don't know everything, but I do know that at times there are a lot of people that are culpable. in the death of people and the covering up. God put people to death. We should be looking for life. And if there's nothing else we can do for life, tell the truth, do the truth. Advocate for those that have had people slaughtered that shouldn't have been slaughtered. Advocate. Don't you ever forget that there are different kinds of death. And you got one where everybody saw it. I believe that was on purpose for it to be seen. Because people got a lot of things passed through. A lot of people raised a lot of money for the Democrat Party. But that one that wasn't caught, that Ahmaud Arbery. They want you to forget that one. They want you to forget it. Don't do it. The land is full of blood. And we as the people of God, even although we're not in the position of power, Daniel wasn't in the position of power, but he told Nebuchadnezzar to break off his sin. And when Nebuchadnezzar didn't break off his sin, God got him. I end. You have an inheritance. People want to take it. Your inheritance is life. Your inheritance has boundaries. Learn God's boundaries of what your inheritance are and learn what he wants you to do so that you don't give yourself a self-imposed boundary. With that, I'm just going to stop right here. And I'm going to pray. And if there's any discussion, we'll have it. Father, you've given us an inheritance. You've given us boundaries. You've given us life. You've given us the protection of life. But you've also given us penalties for those that would take our lives, that would just take our inheritance and do what they want to do with it. Our land is full with blood and violence. In any place where we have participated, we ask you for our heart to repent and get it right with you, chasten us where we need it. Strengthen us where we're torn down with that grace is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Amen. Amen. Amen.